Good morning.
Morning.
Our Old Testament reading this morning comes from Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 1 through 14, and it can be found on pages 1345 and 1346 in your pew Bible, as well as the screen. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" I said, "O sovereign Lord, you alone know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord.' So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked and tendons and flesh appeared on them and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe into these slain, that they may live.' So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. Then he said to me, 'Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say, our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. O my people, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from them. I will put my spirit in you and you will live. And I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken, and I have done it, declares the Lord." The New Testament reading this morning comes from John chapter 15, verses 26 through 27, and John 16, portions of that chapter as well. "When the counselor comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. I did not tell you this at first because I was with you. Now I am going to him who sent me, yet none of you asks me, 'Where are you going?' Because I have said these things, you are filled with grief. But I tell you the truth. It is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. In regard to sin, because men do not believe in me. In regard to righteousness, because I am going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. And in regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you."
Thank you, Wilma. The image of the Lion King, Henry, is the exact image that comes to my mind. It must be something about the power of Walt Disney to speak into our lives. This image of this vast valley of, in this case, elephant bones. So the people of Israel stood at the base of Mount Sinai, And God gave them commandments, laws, for which they were to live their lives. And they had this promise: if you live according to these laws, you will receive blessing upon blessing upon blessing in your generations. Your children and your children's children will live in this land that I have promised you. But if you seek your own way, if you turn from my commandments, then you will be cursed, and a foreign army will come and slaughter you and carry you off into exile, where you will be forced to worship strange gods that you do not know. And the people stood at the base of Mount Sinai on that day, and they spoke with one voice, promising to worship the Lord and follow him and him alone. That takes place in the book of Exodus, by the way, right after the people are freed from their slavery in Egypt. We don't have to read too much farther in the Old Testament, though, to find that the people, well, they meant well, I'm sure. I'm sure they intended to follow God. But, see, God is so vast, so distant, so immeasurably powerful. And the neighboring nations, well, they have these little statues that they can worship and make sacrifices to. And you can lay your hands on them and you can see them and you can understand them. And they, because you can see them, they seem so much more real. And, well, why wouldn't we worship them instead? The rest of the Old Testament is all about how the people stray from this promise that they have made. And soon, what God promises will happen to them if they follow their own way does happen. The armies of Babylon, a powerful nation with strong armies, come in. They carry off all of the leaders and all of their families to a distant land where they are forbidden from worshiping their God. The people who are left behind are either destroyed or they're cut off. Their hope diminishes. Their temple destroyed. And if you believe, as the people believed, that God's presence resides in a place like the temple, and then another army comes in and destroys that temple and puts up their own gods in its place, what are you to think? That God is gone, that God has completely forsaken you. You can imagine the despair of these people as they sit there in Babylon. And the Babylonian soldiers ask them to sing the songs of faith. Sing the songs that they had learned in their childhood. And the retort of the Israelites, which you can find in the Psalms, is, how can we possibly sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? How can we possibly do this? Well, the people of Israel, this is a terribly dry and dusty time. And then God breathes his spirit upon a prophet by the name of Ezekiel. And Ezekiel is shown a vision of this valley filled with bones, dry and dusty. It takes a long time for a human body to decompose to the point where bones become dry and dusty. We've been talking about resurrection these last few weeks, and we recall the story of Lazarus from just a couple of weeks ago, right? Where Lazarus is dead for 4 days, And the people are concerned that if they open up the tomb, it's going to smell, that once you've been dead that long, there's no coming back. And Jesus proves them all wrong by having them roll away the stone and shouting in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." And that's exactly what he does. But this is no four-day-old valley of bodies. This is a valley of dry, dry bones. It's been a long time. Anyone here ever been to the Museum of Natural History, New York City? Okay. All right. You walk through there, and you can see bones, fossils. They've got real dinosaur bones in one of these big rooms. And let me ask you a question. Are those bones coming back to life?
No.
Well, conventional wisdom would tell you no. And God asks the prophet Ezekiel, "Can these bones live?" And that's a really good question. Once it gets so dry and dusty, can new life come to these people? They've been cut off from the worship of their God. They've been cut off from their family. They've been cut off from the law. They've been cut off from the land. Can their hope ever return? Can they possibly live again? Friends, I believe we could ask the same question about the church today. There was a recent story in the New York Times about how the nuns, have you heard this before? Not the nuns as in the Catholic nuns, but the nuns, N-O-N-E-S. Those who, when surveyed about religion, respond, none. How that number is higher now than it has ever been before. And we can verify that, can't we? Look around. Look at the pew next to you. The person that sat there 5 years ago is not sitting there anymore. Our culture has become a crematorium for religion, leaving behind dry and dusty bones. People in our world are despairing over the meaninglessness of their lives. And I'm not talking about people half a world away. I'm talking about the people who you work with, who live next door to you. This is a dry and dusty time in our world. When those spiritual questions that used to arise in people's minds are being asked less and less in a formal sort of way. Now people, their quest for meaning has not died out. Everyone is looking for some meaning to life. But more and more people are not turning toward the church for that meaning. And so the question for us today is, can these bones live? Is this something that is reversible? It's a good question. The prophet Ezekiel responds, "O sovereign Lord, only you know the answer to that question." And what does God say to Ezekiel? He says, "Yes, these bones can live. And here is what you are going to do. Prophesy to these bones. Speak God's word to these bones." And so that's exactly what Ezekiel does. He preaches the word of God to them. something miraculous happens. The bones move. They start to come together. Bones come together with bones and they form joints, and there are tendons and sinews and muscles and flesh that become to be attached to these bones. And pretty soon the bones are whole bodies. But they're laying there, lifeless. And then God says to Ezekiel, what they need is breath. In Hebrew, as in Greek, the words for breath and spirit are the same word. When God breathes breath into the lives of Adam and Eve there in the garden when they are first created, he breathes ruach, spirit, into them, and they come to life. In this same way, Ezekiel is called to prophesy once again, and the Spirit comes and fills these bodies, and they come back to life. These dry bones can indeed live once again. But they need someone to prophesy. What's needed is the Word of God. I know you've had experiences of this, as I have as well, of people who were in despair hearing words of comfort from God's Word and their lives being different, them being lifted out of their darkest moments by the power of this Word. And those of us who attend to this Word faithfully and consistently can testify that indeed our lives are different than they were before. That we wouldn't describe our lives as dusty or dry, full of life, full of vitality, that somehow we've found meaning. That the Holy Spirit has somehow breathed into us, and that we are a new creation, that we are different, that we are no longer this valley of dry bones, but we're up and walking around, and we've been created into what? A vast army, God says. This is a really powerful image for the people, because it means that their hope has not been destroyed, that a word from God is able to inject the hope that they need to live their lives fully and faithfully. You can imagine that the disciples felt the same way after Jesus' death. But God had promised them, as is written here in the Gospel of John, that when he goes away, he's not going to abandon them, but instead there is someone who is coming to their aid, someone who will continue to speak to them, someone who will be the presence of Christ in their lives, telling them exactly what it is that they are to do after Christ is no longer with them. This advocate, this paraclete, this helper is the Holy Spirit. And today, on the day of Pentecost, we celebrate the day that the Holy Spirit came powerfully on those first disciples, bringing new life to an assembly, injecting new life and new vitality into a people who were dry and dusty. And what was it that the Spirit compelled them to do? To get up and leave that place and proclaim this word and the power of this Spirit to the dry and dusty lands that were there around them, in Jerusalem, in Samaria, in Galilee, to the very ends of the earth. So how do we as a people counteract this dry and dusty culture that we find ourselves immersed in? The answer? Prophesy, son and daughter of man. Proclaim God's word through what you say and what you do. And pray for the Holy Spirit to act powerfully in your presence. And watch what happens. Bone to come together with bone, and muscle and sinew and tendons, and a whole life that was once devoid of meaning and searching, trying, now being filled powerfully with this presence of God. The church may never have the standing in society that it once had, but the Holy Spirit does new things all the time. We don't have to yearn for the days that were. We don't have to go back to the way it was before. We can rely on the promise that the Spirit has powerful new things for us. Let's bow our heads now and ask that that would happen powerfully in our lives today. Let us pray. O sovereign Lord, only you know the answer to whether these dry bones can live. But we put our faith and our trust in you, that somehow you are working within us, around us, through us, ahead of us, to something new, something powerful, something exciting, something that perhaps we've never seen before. Help us to attend to your word, that it might bring new life to us, and then give us the courage to proclaim that word to others, putting our faith and our trust in you that new life will be theirs as well. Send your Spirit to us to speak your words to us in a new and exciting way. Take away our fear of this uncertain future. Give us the courage to lean into the coming of your kingdom. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.